Imagine being born a white woman in the hills of Tennessee in 1905. So consider that for a minute. Now imagine being that same southern white woman and ending up in seminary in the late 20s in Virginia, and then doing another seminary degree in New York, getting a degree by 1931, a southern white woman who was seminary trained in 1931. This was an extraordinary woman, and her name was Nell Morton. She was one of the first feminist theologians that people point to. She has influenced generations of feminist theologians. She was much more than that, though. She was someone who believed that people without voice needed to get voice, needed to be able to speak from their own life experiences. She believed that it was possible to hear people into the speech of their lives. And so she was an activist beyond what any of us can even imagine the word activist meaning. She spoke up for people in the hill countries. She spoke up in terms of race relations. She spoke up trying to dismantle patriarchy and all of the impact that was having. And she was born a southern white woman in 1905. At one point in her career, she worked for the National Presbyterian Church. In the 1940s, okay, so ponder that for a minute, the 1940s, she organized an interracial youth camp, took all of these youth into a very secret place in the hills of North Carolina, and had them engage together. There is a story about her that at one of those camps, she had to have the entire camp evacuate and go hide for the night in a cornfield because she had heard that some locals had decided to take it upon themselves to take the law into their own hands. And so they all hid out quietly in a cornfield overnight. That was the kind of person she was. She was extraordinary also because of a sermon she preached on Pentecost Sunday. So after, she eventually ended up on the faculty at the theological school at Drew University in the 50s, 1950s. First woman on the faculty in the 50s, went on to lecture at seminaries all across the country. When she retired from Drew, she moved to Southern California and had a great relationship with the Claremont School of Theology. It was at the Claremont School that she preached a particular sermon on Pentecost Sunday. And she did something with the story of Pentecost that I've never heard anybody else do. And I have been captured by it. What she did is she looked at that story about the tongues, all those people speaking in their languages. And this is what she said about it. She said, you know, that story is not about speaking in tongues. She said, the story is really about the hearing. She said, people were heard into authentic speech that day. She said, amazing things happen when a community of people listen to one another. She said, when listening stands still long enough, people can be heard into the truth of their lives. Do you hear that? When listening stands still long enough, people can be heard into the truth of their lives. And that is what powerfully transforms a community. So instead of tongues and who can speak in tongues and who can't speak in tongues, she said, focus on the hearing that was the transformation. Focus on the hearing that we can do. We can hear one another into speech. And that is what she spent her life trying to do. Many years ago, I was trained to become a mediator. After years in the church, when I was thinking about what to do for continuing education, I thought, I need to know how to be a mediator. So I went and got training and have done some professional mediation since I received that training. And one of the things that I have learned about mediation is that it's necessary because people stop listening to each other. That is why mediation becomes necessary. People will no longer listen, can no longer hear, for whatever reason, to each other. So as I've worked with churches, as I've worked with parents and children, what has happened to get them to that point is that they are at a standstill. They cannot hear each other, and they ask somebody to come in and help them hear each other. Wars are fought because people stop listening to each other. Churches end up in wars because people stop listening to each other. Families end up in wars because people stop listening to each other. Now, there are different kinds of listening, and I'm not just talking about the kind of listening where you hear what's being said. You hear the content. Most of us can engage at the level where we hear the content, and we are really good at responding to content, right? Think about parent-child interactions. It is so difficult as a parent not to get engaged in the content piece. Anyone who has a partner or spouse knows that it is difficult not to get caught in the content piece. Because, boy, you just have all kinds of answers and responses in your head when it comes to content. When I worked at the Charter Middle School a few years ago, one of the things I did was I led parenting workshops for parents of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And don't you know, I mean, the first session, parents would just unload about how frustrating it is to parent a 6th, 7th, or 8th grader. And so what I was teaching them were listening skills. And some of them needed just the basic listening skills. Some of them thought they were really good listeners. And so when we got to the session where we went more deeply into listening, they were caught. And the session that we did was listening for feelings. So not just stopping at the level of content, but listening for what is the feeling being expressed here. So you can imagine, you know, so one of the examples that parents would throw out is, My kid always says that I'm a terrible parent. So you can see, you know, here's this frustrated 6th, 7th, or 8th grader saying, you're a terrible parent. I wish I had any parent but you. And here's the parent listening to the content of that and immediately wanting to react to the content. And so what comes out is something like, well, you're no picnic either. And then sometimes goes on to embellish how not a picnic that child is. So what I would do is work with them on what is the feeling being expressed when your child yells, you're a terrible parent. What are they feeling in that moment? Can you stop And can you listen for that feeling? And it was revolutionary for some of these parents. Now, I gave them homework to do in between weeks when we were meeting, and they'd come back and they'd say, "Oh, is that hard?" But they would also say, "It's completely changed the relationship when I've been able to do it." And that is something that we as the church need to do. The church is supposed to be a place of healing. If there is any place where people ought to be heard into speech, if there is any place for listening to stand still long enough for the truth to be told, it is in the church. And unfortunately, that's not been the history of the church. The church has always had so much to say to people that it's hard for people to be heard into speech. The church then tends to be the place where we want to keep our secrets, or we're forced to keep our secrets, or we can't find a way to tell the truth of our lives, whatever that truth is. The church has to become the place of listening and healing. There are a lot of people out there right now that are talking about what the church has to be. A lot of people. Books ad nauseum on what the church needs to be in the future. And there are some great ideas about what the church could be. And I'm convinced that if there is any place to focus, it's right here. It's on the listening and the hearing. We as a congregation have been involved in almost monthly gatherings since last October. In our mission study, we have been talking about things like, who are we? Who is our neighbor? What is our purpose? What is God calling us to do? Who is God calling us to be? We have had a lot to say in those gatherings. And in our last gathering in May, we entered into an exercise together that was about listening and listening deeply. And you know what? It was hard. It was hard. We have a community that is highly educated, very creative, full of ideas. And it is hard for us to stop, to hold still long enough for the truth to be told. It is hard for us to engage in listening and to engage in deep listening. I'm including myself in that bunch. I've been leading listening workshops since I was in high school. It is so hard for me to stop and listen. And the gift that Nell Morton gave in her sermon on Pentecost in the early 70s was to say, listening is what it's about. Holding still long enough for the truth to be told, listening, hearing people into the authenticity of their lives. As we move forward as a congregation in another year of transition, as you face transitions in your own life of a variety of kinds, we've got to find ways to stop and listen, not just to content, but for feeling our own and others. We've got to find those places of listening. And as you look for your next pastor, look for someone who will hear you into speech so that you can continue to hear one another into speech. What happened on Pentecost Day was a miracle. There was transformation that happened that has been unparalleled. It had to do with the hearing of the wind, the Holy Spirit. I want to end with a quote by Nell Morton. She wrote a book called The Journey is Home. Pretty wild book. And this is what she says. Maybe journey is not so much a journey ahead or a journey into space, but a journey into presence. The farthest place on earth is the journey into the presence of the person nearest to you. The farthest place on earth is the journey into the presence of the person nearest to you. Amen.